summary, are we okay? Okay. Just a brief summary of some of the things we were talking about last week. I'd like to pick up and move on. What we developed is what I heard from the Rav, Zichron Livracha, many times, both from the shulim that he said in yeshiva, the shulim that I heard from him in Sefer Mitzvahs, is that Rashi, it's very clear from him, both in Chumash and in the Gemara, that when the Talmud tells us that the Rebbein Lishon is at Oma Kodesh Boruch Hu, Imu Lefonei Malchiyos, that the interpretation of Zichron Truo, the words in the Torah, when the Torah says Zichron Truo, it means that the brachot, the brachos that we recite in Musaf, have an efficacy from the Torah. That even though I don't pray Musaf, I'm okay, I fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, but there are new dimensions to shofar if I have a tkiyah shofar together with the Musaf prayer. And they merge together. The shofar merges together with the prayer as a new entity. And the Rav, it developed in many different ways the whole concept that within shofar there's an element of prayer. He said that, according to Rashi, is the pshat in the Gemara, that ein kategen nasa senega, that the shofar is our advocate to God for prayer. It brings our prayers to the inner sanctum, to the sanctum sanctorum. Also, in the Talmud, when the Talmud talks about that the shape of the shofar should be kofuf, should be bent, Rashi says, Nisa levoveno al kapenu, which is a reference to prayer. Because the shofar itself has an element of prayer in it. And also he said, that's the zichron that the Gemara says, that zichron, there might be a problem of shofar if tokei l'shir, if you blow the shofar as a song, you don't fulfill the obligation, because since the Torah says zichron, there has to be some understanding. Prayer can't be, a person can't pray to God, have supplication before the Almighty, unless he's aware of what he's doing. Okay. What I pointed out is that as much as the Rav was involved in the development of the idea of shofar and prayer, and as much as he pointed out that the Ramban resisted this, both in terms in Chumash, on Zichron Truah, and also the Ramban resists it in terms in Sefer Mitzvahs, and he says all the discussions of the Gemara that the Talmud tells us Oma Akodesh Baruch Hu Imu Lefonai, that you should say God said, you should say the brachos in Musaf. The Ramban is very clear that it's an asmachta and it's not it's not legislated from the Torah. But he never explained to us where the Ramban is standing. What's he coming from? What does the Ramban want with Zichron Truah? And that is what I tried to develop at the end of last week's shiur. And I put it together with the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchus Tshuva develops something new in terms of the shofar. He says, and that you'll find in number one in the handout, Afalpi shetkia shofar b'rosh hashanah gezeres hakosuv, even though it was legislated from the Torah without a reason, gezeres hakosuv, remez yesh bo, there is some type of expression. Rav used to learn this remez over here is a kium. Somehow we fulfill, there is an element, another element in it. What is this element? Remez yesh bo, and we'll see what the element is. Kloimal, what's the remez of shofar? What do we see? Some symbolism that it has in mind, the shofar. Ur yishenim mishinaschem v'nirdom hekitzu mitadamaschem, that a person should wake up from their sleep, and then there's tardema, which is slumber, sleep, which is very difficult to wake up from. In fact, that's why in Chumash it talks about when woman was taken from man, man was put in tardema. It's almost, it was the first operation with ki'ilu, with ether and without ether. So it's very deep slumber. A person wouldn't feel something. Ooh, yishenim mishinaschem, v'nirdom mitadameschem tamaschem. A person could be in a deep slumber. V'chipsu b'ma'aseichem, and you should be introspective. Look and evaluate things. V'chipsu b'ma'aseichem. V'chazu b'tshuva. And you should return in tshuva. It's a process. The first, it's a wake-up call. Different people, different levels of sleep. Some people are just sleeping, and some people are in slumber. The shofar is a wake-up call. The call, the fact that shofar is a call, is something which makes noise. The point is to wake up. And everyone should wake up as much as they're sleeping. It's a very strange thing. And then he says, but the wake-up call says, be introspective. Evaluate what you're doing. And then to repent. And even the strangest thing is, in terms of the chronological order, I would have put first, remember God, okay, and reevaluate things and do tshuva. It seems that man, this person who's in deep slumber, has forgotten the significance of God in his life in such a way that prior to introspection and prior to re-evaluating things and prior to doing tshuva, talking about remembering God is not on the spectrum of things. You can only begin to remember God after tshuva. The Seder is chipsu maaseichem, v'chizru v'chazru b'tshuva, v'zichru bo'achem, and remember God. And then the Rambam goes further. And I always thought the Elu Ashochachim are the people that he's now explaining. What does it mean, slumber? What are the characteristics of the people in slumber? The Taldema. Elu Hashochachim, and look, interesting, the word Shochachim is in the present tense, and it's a constant action. Their whole life is defined by shikha, denial. Elu hashikhim. Esoemes. They're in denial of truth. Bahavle hazman. That they're caught up. They're caught up with the, you know, you understand, each decade has its thing that everyone gets into. You know, in the 60s, it was the hippie movement. In this, each decade has its thing, okay? You know, at a certain point in time, communism was the catchword, socialism. Every different movement, every different thing has its the Havle Azman. At certain points, I think, you know, now the motto in the many societies is fun and enjoyment. And it's enjoyment, you see, enjoyment can be a something that, you know, that gives you a sense of self-fulfillment. But the enjoyment that is the motto of society is this animalistic pleasure which gives a person a high for a few minutes and moves on. So every society has its havle azman. And the person in slumber is so involved in this havle azman that he forgets God. And until he's introspective and reevaluates anything, remembering God is not on the panorama. What are they? Elu ashochachim esoemes b'havli hazman v'shoigim kol shnosom behevel v'rik. They spend their whole lives involved in Hevel Rik. In fact, you know, the in society, certainly American society, the following of celebrities, of living with celebrities, that is a way of living with this immediate pleasure. And that's what it's all about. But the Rambam adds, "Asher lo yoyil v'lo yatzil." There is no purpose, and they don't save. They don't do anything for man. Lo moyil, they don't add anything to man, and don't save man from anything. And then, once you remove yourself from the gravity, from the grapples of this approach. Habitul nafshei seichem, and the word here he uses a different word. Habitu, the word habota, okay. The way it's used in the Talmud, and that's probably the Rambam means it. There's a difference between seeing something and habota, and a careful look. The Talmud is ready to say that there's such a person could acquire an object by habota, by a careful look. But just seeing it, and just that's not enough. I can see something, or I can look at it seriously. The only way, habitul nafshesechem, the only way that a person can leave the grapples of society, of this different way of looking at things, is through habota. Hitivu darchechem, improve your ways, umalechem, v'yazev kol echod v'echod mikem darko ro. And then he leaves his approach to life, umachshofto aleshelo toivo. And this, I thought, that there's a derech and there's a machshova. Because in tshuva, you need two things. There's tshuva from actions, and there's tshuva from the way personality traits, the way you interact with people. The way when you look at a person, you look at a fable, the eyes. Are you interested in him? Are you interested in yourself? Are you interested in controlling your anger or venting your anger? And the truth is, and not for us now, controlling anger is also a problem. Because in midas, it's the feeling itself that's the midah. This anger itself is not something that a person should be feeling. If he feels this, he should control it. But that, you know, the Rambam refers to midas in Sefer HaMitzvos and Sheres Tashi as something different than pulot, as an action. So midas are something that are part of man's psyche and have to be controlled. That's why the action on dealing with midas are one of the most difficult things. They claim from Yisrael Salanta that he used to say that it's easier to learn through the whole Talmud than to break one midah, because breaking a midah doesn't mean to control it. It means that the anger is not there. A person who spends his whole life, okay, let's just give an example, angry with his wife, okay, or angry with her husband, okay, even though he controls it and doesn't vent it, but the relationship is not going to be the same. That's where the Rambam looks at shofar. A shofar is a call for change. Okay. The Ramban also talks about shofar and the zichron trua, according to the Ramban, is the shofar itself. The zichron trua is not prayer, but the shofar itself. You look carefully at the Ramban, that's the zichron trua. Zichron trua, and he says, Pshuto Shel Mikra, is referring to the shofar itself. He also has a few words in Chumash, and he says, Hakol Toli B'tshuva. In fact, you see it. You see it in the second quote in the handouts, and a few lines before the end. The first word in the line is Le'achreho, V'hine ze mavur ki hakol toli b'tshuva. And that's what he's explaining, Zichron Trua. Now, last week, I was trying to equate the Ramban with the Rambam, but I gave it a lot of thought, and I think it's a mistake. I want to explain a little bit what's going on in the Rambam, and then try to interpret the Ramban and see what's going on. One has to ask themselves a very interesting question. Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. We developed that last week. That the Ramban says, in fact, you'll see it over here in the second quote. He says, Yisa lepishe avodov, in the fourth, fifth line, Nilmos bakosav o'ian, kasher noida b'Yisrael, mipi ha'nevim v'ovos kedoshim. What's this inyan? As he says before, that Rosh Hashanah nire shebo yiyeh din lefon of Yisbarach, ki bom yodin amin. It's a day of judgment. It's a very strange thing. It's a day of judgment. So, what are our chances? And how do we protect ourselves? So, the Shofar tells us to do tshuva, okay? Now, I just ask yourself, if you're honest with yourself, in terms of the Rambam and the Loshon of the Rambam, do we expect a person in slumber who requires not only introspection, but before this introspection, he requires something very special? What does he require? He requires waking up and understanding that his approach to life may have some fallacies in it. He understands that. He goes through introspection. And he does tshuva. And he remembers God. The question that one should ask, really, when the Rambam has this discussion, which seems to be, according to the Rambam, what the Torah prescribes, okay, that's the remes, the kiyum of shofar. Is it true that the Torah expected that with the snap of the finger, he hears the shofar, he is almost intoxicated with the way of life that he's been brought up with, that with the blow of the shofar is magic, and all of a sudden, boom, he did tshuva, and he's a different person? That sounds almost incredulous. So I thought, maybe wrongly so, I thought, that what the Rambam is suggesting over here is not that the person actually does tshuva. We don't even know that he is even sorry about what he did. You see, tshuva is a process. One has to understand that his ways may not be the best. evaluate what they are, chart a new course, and think about how to get to that course. So it's difficult for me to imagine where the Rambam's phrasing all this, that this happens with a snap of the finger. That when we blow the shofar, boop, before he didn't do tshuva, and now he does tshuva. It's difficult to imagine that that's what's happening. So the Rambam is an amazing thing, I would assume, that the person is sitting on Rosh Hashanah, or standing, and the Gemara talks about sitting, standing, okay, good. Here's the shofar. So what happens? He feels, and the blowing of the shofar is almost like, let's say, excuse the expression, shock treatment. Somehow, something moves within him. There's some movement that he realizes he has to reevaluate things. What I would assume is a process has started, which we hope will culminate through the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, through the 10 days of Tshuva, and he will somehow reevaluate things and choose different ways and remember God. And somehow, the clear feeling, the understanding of this, that there's a process in front of him, the understanding that there is a way to go and he has to do this, that itself is what he brings to God on Rosh Hashanah, on the Yom HaDin. And because of that, Ezra HaSefer was ready to prescribe, as it says in Tanakh, Ichu Mashmanim Ushisu Mamtakim Ki Chesvas Shem Ruzchem. Be happy. It's pretty clear to me that even though the Ramban is talking about shofar in terms of tshuva, what's happening with the shofar and tshuva, according to the Ramban, is very different. The Ramban, if you read his whole discussion in point two over here, in the Ma'al Makrimes, there's something amazing going on in the Torah. As I pointed out last week, the Ramban points out to us that Rosh Hashanah is the only yontif that the Torah doesn't give us a clue of what it's all about. If one sits and looks at Scripture, Yom Kippur, he understands something about atonement. Sukkot, there's a holiday because of the harvest. Pesach, Passover, we left Egypt. Shavuot, we got the Torah. But the Torah says that Rosh Hashanah is a yontif, talks about zichron truah without any clue. In fact, even more than that, the Torah tells us that zichron truah yelochem, that for some reason, we don't even know what the issues are, but God is giving us a present. It's for you! Zichron Truah, Yom Truyeh Lochem. We're getting a present. We don't know what the present is. We don't even know what it's all about. And the amazing, amazing thing is that the Ramban says that how do we know there's something going on over here? It's only because, if you read two, it's only because there's a svara that since the Day of Atonement in the month of Tishrei, and there's a yontif 10 days before, probably there's some relationship, and we have a Kabbalah, we have something given over from word of mouth, from generation to generation, that Rosh Hashanah has something to do with judgment. Then the Ramban develops an idea that the word zichron has something to do with judgment also. But, you know, thinking about it, it's conceptually a very, very difficult thing. A day of judgment, okay, a day of judgment is a joyous occasion. And the word zikaron, zichron, has with it the issues, tells us about judgment. So why should it be a present to us? Yom zikaron yulachem. That the shofar, that the yom, the day, Rosh Hashanah, the judgment day, is a present to us. I would have said, the approach that we should have is not approach of rejoicing, which Ezra HaSeifa suggested to us, but the approach should be trepidation, which was going on, of being, of melancholy, of, you know, how are we going to deal with this day of a day of fasting? And Ezra HaSeifa, Ezra the scribe, told us no. Ichu mashmanim ushisumam takim. You should have this meal, this exquisite meal. And be happy. How does this all happen? So Ramban says something. Is drasha le Rosh Hashanah, and even before that, he says somehow, he doesn't explain how. We'll look at this at the in the end of two. He says something very interesting. Towards the bottom, the first word in the line is atkia, aval atkia hi hazichon v'hu hashofar. The tkiya, the zikaron, is the tkiya shofar. And that's the matana. What's the present in this? Vatrua kishma. The trua is as its name, which he mentions and explains before that it's something to do with war and judgment. Meneshi klula min arachmim ki lefonel achreho. The trua, this judgment, is surrounded by mercy, the tkiyos, which signify mercy, both before and afterwards. That's how we have salvation. And he says, ulufikach omar Biyodei Tchor, which we'll see that Rambam makes a big deal out of this. Because it says, Ashrei Ho'om Yodei Sruha. In fact, the Ramban points out, Ashrei Ho'om Yodei Sruha doesn't make much sense. You look in 5, the first word in the line is Yodei Sruha, Umashe Kosav Azeh Ma'asher. What are some of someone so happy? How be Yodim Lasis Truah? A person can be an expert musician. Bechatzetz Reis Ubeshoif Reis Ve'ein Lehem Ve'oi Lehem Ve'oi Lemazolam. They're just not happy. They shouldn't be ecstatic. V'ha'o b'she'enam yodel l'skoya. And there are many people who don't know how to blow the shofar. Klal V'yashreim V'yashrei chalkam. And they should be very happy. So something's going on over here. It says, Ashrei ho'om yodei sruah. What is that? It's an amazing thing. And that's what Ramban is dealing with in the drosh over here. Let's go back for a second. Let's go to number 3. In the drosha, he wrote a drosha about Rosh Hashanah. And he tells us about something about the shape of the shofar. That one of the Tana, Boy Tana, Kofuf, that the shofar should be bent. Kedei she yakofu, yakofu libom bitshuva. To bend their heart with tshuva. Now this is a very strange expression, okay? This you find, it's very clear, because Rashi talked about the bending in terms of tefillah, that a person should be bent in his supplication to God. But what does it mean, bent, in terms of tshuva? It's a whole new concept. And something new is going on. We don't know something about being bent in tshuva. And to bend the heart. Shikufu libam bis tshuva. What is all this? What's going on over here? And there's also a very strange thing. If you look back at the Ramban in 2, when he says, Hakol Toli B'tshuva, you see the line, the third to the last line of Lachreho, V'inezeh Mavua. The word Mavua means that it's obvious. Obvious? Ki akol toli b'tshuva? That everything depends upon tshuva? How is it obvious that everything depends upon tshuva? Something over here doesn't make any sense. And the strangest thing, in his drosha on Rosh Hashanah, this hakol toli b'tshuva is not mentioned. The mention that he has about tshuva and repentance is when he talks about the shape of the shofar, which is only from a rabbinic dictum. It's not from the Torah. What is this tshuva and what does it all mean? And what is this strange thing? Ashrei ho'om yoedei sruah. Okay. which the Ramban says, it's not talking about a musician. And it's even stranger, because the Truah, if you remember, is a reference to Milchoma and a reference to judgment. So why should he be happy? The Ramban says that Tekiah, which is a reference to mercy, is surrounding the Truah. And I mentioned last week the mashal that the Rav used to give about Krepach, that the inside of the Krepach is red, which is Midas Hadin, and we surround the Midas Hadin with white, with Rachmim. Similarly, he didn't use the mashal over here, that's what's going on with the shofar, that was somehow surrounding the Truah, the Midas Hadin, with mercy, with tekiyas. So if one would have asked me, I would have said, Asher Om Yodin Tekiyah. And the Pasuk says, Asher Om Yodei Sruah. And what does all this mean? And what's this tshuva? And what's this matana? This gift from God? The day of judgment is a gift. And because of that day, the Ramban says that it's a mikra kodesh. Each word over here is an enigma. And when you have so many enigmas together, just becomes completely, completely confusing. What is Rosh Hashanah all about? How do we do this? How do we change a day, which is a day of judgment, by putting tekiyas around a truah, and changing the day? And if it just happens like that, why are the people that know the Truah are so happy? And what's going on? What is all this about? Now, let's read in the Drosha in 5. He says, Lefi, you'll see where it says Cherem. He basically says that Truah is, in scriptures, was used for bringing the walls of Jericho down. And that there was Cherem and Midas Hadin. Because Jericho, you weren't allowed to have anything from. And that's what happened with Ochon. Ulefi sha'truah Midas Hadin, just the opposite. Since Truah is judgment, Omar Ashrei Ha'om Yodei Sruah Shemekareves Eleho Hadas. It brings to a person's mind his understanding, Ki Yedia Toima Advekis Kmo Odom Yodes Chavo. It's a very deep, intimate relationship. That's what Yediyah is. Ha'odom yoda es chavo. Man knew his wife, chavo. Besula, v'ish lo yo'odo'o. It's talking about intimate love and relationship. V'oma yoim trua yeh lochem. He explained yoy de'esrua. It's an intimate relationship with Sruah, an understanding of Sruah. Then he says that the Matana, Yom Tru Yelochem, Ki Ayom Yelonu, it's our day. He says in the Drasha. Vuhu Sha'om Viloi Hutzuch Lahaske Shefer, Ki Ashefer Remez, Biyoim Vatrua Boy. Yom Tru Yelochem is the Tru'ah together with the Tkia is your day. How does this happen? Listen to this. Ki hu yoim din brachmim. Vuhu sha'omar asher om yodei sruo. Ki stif eres uzomoy oto. Okay. We say this posik. Okay. But we don't understand what's ki tif. Eres uzomo oto, kitif eres midas rachmim, vi oz midas hadin, vi elu dvo misisra terehem. It means tif eres zumo oto. Why are you happy? Why are you intimately involved in Shofar? Because you understand this secret that somehow the Midas Hadin can be enveloped and almost swallowed up by Tiferes, by Rachman. And the understanding of this and the intimate involvement of this is our salvation. But on the other hand, no mention of tshuva, and he says, I call Toli b'tshuva. What does all this mean? I'd like to introduce to you an issue that tshuva might not be tshuva in the sense that we normally understand tshuva, and it might be something very interesting. And I'll explain to you what I mean. The Rabban Chumash quotes the Pirkei d'Avolozer. The Pirkei d'Avolozer tells us that there was a takana, that's number six, a takana to blow shofar from Rosh Chodesh Elul. But there's something very strange going on here. He quotes Rosh Chodesh Elul, you see in the bold in six, Oma lo yakodesh baruch hu, Alei Eilai Ha'oro Ve'viru Shofar B'machne Sharei Moshe Olo Lahar Shlo Yisu Oid Achar Avodah Zorah. The Kol HaShofar, the sound of the ram's horn, was to tell us not to be Oved Avodah Zorah. It was after the Egel, it was after the sin of the golden calf. And the shofar was admonishing us not to be involved with Avodah Zorah. V'akodesh Baruch Hu nis'ale b'oso shofar. That's Olo Elokim b'suah. Shenema Olo Elokim b'suah. Hashem b'kol shofar. V'chein hiskinu. Chachomim, shiyu tekin b'shefa b'esh chidesh elu b'chol shana v'shana. Ad kan dvorov divrei agodazu. The Ramban says, quotes agoda, but somehow, what does it do? What the Olo Elokim b'sruah is talking about not to be oimed avodah zara. What does that have to do with the Tkia Shofar over here? So I just got to tell him this one thing, and another thing, and another thing. And as the plot thickens, the confusion just is almost cancerous. It's growing out of control. Now, I want to share with you Ramban. Ramban first, I'll share with you one Ramban, then I'll share with you something else. Let's see over here. Look over here. Let's see 11 for a second. Number 11. Just see something very important. In Ramban Chumash, Vayhi Bishul Melech, he says, Yidrashu Shehoyu Melech Aleihem Ipinesh Nisasvu Yachdov Nisasvu V'yachdov Kulum Kibul Malchus Aleihem. Ramban expresses Torah Tzivulonu Moshe, Moro Shekilas Yaakov. Why is this the hallmark of the Jewish faith? Because everything is Kabos O Malchus Shamayim. Are we to answer to God? Are we his servants? Are we interrelated with God? V'chein yiyah Moro Shekilas Yaakov. V'amelech hu HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Vayvi b'shun melech, v'chei nohadnu loima b'tikiosa de beirav. Has a very interesting expression, tikiosa de beirav. What's tikiosa de beirav? It's musaf. It's called tikiosa de beirav. It's talking about the malchies in musaf. The malchies in musaf is kabbalas o malchusa. Now, I want to show you something. Let's go back to 7. You see, we were brought up with the Rambam that tshuva is basically all or nothing. Either you have charata, you are sorry for what happened, and you accept in the future that you're not going to do anything anymore, which there is a lot of work in order to get to that point. The question is, can a person make a mini step, and another mini step, and another mini step, and maybe there's some meaning in that? Looking at the Rambam, you get the impression there's not much meaning in that. But I want to point out that in the Ramban, there's a lot of meaning in that. The Ramban, you look at number 7. The Tam in Ramban and Dvorim, V'yoma b'yoyma hu haloi ki ein elokai b'kirbi. Eineni vidui gomu ki ein vizvadu as avoinom. It's not a complete vidui. Avol hu hiru v'charoto she yischartu al ma'alom. And what does it mean? Bavur shehiru Yisrael b'libom shechotu ve'elokim v'alki ein elokeim b'kirbom motzum horos ho'ele ho'yuroi l'roiv chasdi Hashem sheyazrom v'yatzilom shekvar kofru ba'avoyde zara. The first step of tshuva, the first step of repentance, is kabbalas o malchus shamayim and kfira in avoyde zara. And this itself is meaningful. That the Ramban says, Ho yuroo yuroif chaste Hashem siyazu v'yatzilam shekvar kofu v'avodizor. However, it's incomplete. And that's what he says at the end. The shefa at Har Sinai, the shefa not to be over Avodah Zarah, was a shefa of Kabbalas Omachu Shamayim. That is the shefa of Torah. When we internalize this message, that is the first step. That's the chalota, the kfir in Avodah Zarah. Everyone standing on Rosh Hashanah, he's kefer libam b'tshuva. He has this feeling and this kfir that he is God's servant. That's the kol toli b'tshuva. He hears the kol tur, ashrei ha'am yoidei sua. They internalize this message of kfira b'avodah zarah, of kabbalas o'malchus, and this yom adin, the yom from tur, could be yom tur yelochem. It could be your day. By, and that's the Ramban says, ki hakol toli b'tshuva. This message of tur, this message of shofar, Omar Elokim b'svua, Hashem b'kol shofar, internalizing this message and understanding, O Machus Shamayim, this itself is Yom Tru Yelochem. This gives us the ability of clothing on Rosh Hashanah itself the Midas Hadin, the Zikoin, that instead of being our prosecuting attorney, hearing the Torah and reacting to it with Malchios, with Kabbalas Omachus Shamayim, that is your kufu libon la kodesh baruch hu, and enables, and that is our matana, and enables the trua to be clothed ki tiferes uzomoy oto, enables the trua to be clothed with rachamim, and changes the Yom HaDin into a Yom Rachmim B'din. And then Ezra Sefer can tell us, Ichlu Mashmanim Ushisu Mamtakim Ki Chedves Hashem Me'uzchem. And this is the Ashrei Ha'am Yoidei Tzrua, this intimate understanding of what Tzrua is all about. This intimate understanding of Tzrua is all Elokim b'Tzrua. The sheif of Har Sinai, of not to be Tein Avodah Zarah, of Kabbalas Omachus Shamayim. This intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be the key to our success on Rosh Hashanah. And clothe the Midas HaDin with Midas HaRachmin. The Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Tzrua can make this day in Ki Tiferes Uzomoy Ata. That the day is that the Midas of Tiferes, that the Rachmin can clothe this Tzrua. Clothe the din with the rachamim. And this is the excitement. This is the Mikokidish. This is the Matono of Yom Truye Lochem. Lonu! And that's why it's not plain. The Ramban says in the Droshes very clearly that it's not Stam. An Asmachta, he seems to say that's the Kavona. Okay. The Kavona is that the Malchios, and in fact, I'll add one thing over here. There's a very interesting Bahag, which I mentioned last week. The Bahag says that Aschus, that if we don't have a shofar, he quotes the Gemara, if we don't have a shofar, even Ba'inus, there's Ilvu Vasotin. So everyone talks about Ilvu Vasotin. It's magical, mystical. What is going on over here? The Sotin confusing him. And the Talmud tells us that the reason why we blow the shofar and then pray Musaf afterwards is Ilvu Vasotin. Because this is the key. The key, according to the Ramban, we hear the shofar before. And with the Musaf, with Malchias, with Makabal Omar Hushamayim, and we clothe this shofar. We clothe the Midas Hadin with Midas Harachamim. And this is the Seid of Rosh Hashanah. As much as we're makabel omach u'shamayim, that's how much we're successful. And that's why Malchias is a major theme according to Ramban. And that's what it means. Akol tolim b'tshuva. This tshuva of all Elokim b'sruah, asher om yoidei sruah, that is the key to our success on Rosh Hashanah. Next. Now, I'd like to talk about get us a little bit to Yom Kippur. Interesting. Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, we pointed out, we're at the beginning of the path. According to the Rambam, it's a path of re-evaluation, introspection. According to Ramban, it's a path of Kabbalah Moch Shamayim, understanding God, as our King. We're thinking about life, evaluating life. This is the way, with the shofar, according to Rashi, we deal with Yom HaDin, with tefillah, with prayer. According to Ramban, the shofar itself changes the day from a Yom Rachmim to Yom Din, to a Yom Rachmim V'din. But in order to be successful, for the Beinoni, the person who's the middle of the road, not the tzaddik, his whole success is only with Yom Kippur. This helps him get through, okay? But he's not there yet. What we have to do is try to understand what are we thinking about what do we have in mind when the Torah calls something called Yom Kippurim? Okay? We have to understand what the word kapara means. Atonement. And then we have to understand what does it mean exactly that when you talk about a day that its very essence is Yom HaKippurim, a day of atonement. You know, the words that we say, the question, what do they mean? And you'll find in life in general and in language in general that words that we use more often, we understand them less. And what the Rav used to train us is that the first step in understanding, whether it's a text or anything, is understanding language. Let's now start with the pasuk and just understand that there's some significance of something going on here. The pasuk says, "Ki b'yom hazeh yichapir aleichem l'tayir eschem mikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem titol." Now, I'd like to talk about this pasuk, and we'll see what Rabbi Akiva does with it. Ki b'yoyim hazeh yichapi aleichem, just the words itself in the pasuk. The pasuk says that the day itself will be machapi, something called kapara, atonement. Letaher. There's a word kapara, and there's a word tahara. Tahara reminds us of mikvah, of going to a ritual area, of changing from being tome into tor. Yichapi aleichem letaher eschem. Mikol chatoseichem. Not from one sin, but from everything. And then it says, which a priori, looking at it, lifnei Hashem titoru, in front of God, you will become tohor, clean, clean from tumah. Is that what the pasuk is telling us? It's a question where he has the tahara, where he becomes clean? That's really the issue. And why is kapara compared to tahara? So Rabbi Akiva has done a major thing over here, and that's one in the second handout. Omer Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, Ashrei, the same way we had Ashrei Om Yoyde Yisroa, we have another Ashrei of Yom Kippur. Ashreichem Yisrael. Mi atem metarim. Umi metayer eschem. Avichem shebashamayim. Lefnei mi atem metarim. Umi metayer eschem. Who makes you clean? Avichem shebashamayim. It's a very interesting thing. God is referred to as our Father. Kapara is a father to a son over here. Avichem. Shenemar v'zorakti aleichem mayim teherim utahartem. It doesn't mean, and you will become tohor. I will, he will metaya them. V'oimer, then it's an important thing. Mikveh Yisrael, the Ribbono Shalom, is the ritualarium of the Jewish people. Ma mikveh metayer hatmeim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metayis Yisrael. What Rabbi Kiva has done is the Lifnei Hashem two things. The Lord used to always point this out. A person jumps into the mikveh and leaves his hand outside, or her hand outside. A person jumps into the mikveh and part of his body, or her body, is covered in a way that the water doesn't hit it. So it's nothing. It's not that you have half. Mikveh, tachas ha-mikveh, is either all or nothing. The Tara, Rabbi Akiva saw in the Pasuk, Mikol chateiseichem, that it's a complete Tara. And the Lifnei Hashem Titohu is not a geographical location of where this Tara is taking place. But the question is, who is the Metayer? Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, mi atem metayes chametz HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Akiva saw in Lifnei Hashem Titohu that the Ribbono Shelo is the mikveh, the ritualarium of Knesset Yisrael. And that is the matana of Yom Kippur. What I'd like to do is just point one thing out before we continue. It's talking about Yisrael. Okay? Mi metayer eschem. Okay? It means something peculiar is going on here about Kaporet Yisrael. The Rav always used to point out there's an efficacy about kapora to a Gentile, to a non-Jew. And that's why we have the Haftarah. We read the scriptures of Nineveh telling us that a non-Jew also has tshuva. Something is happening over here that Mikveh Yisrael, this peculiar thing about Yom Kippur, is a matana to Yisrael. Ashreichem! That's what he says. Ashreichem Yisrael. This is a separate gift to us. And the question is, what is it? The truth is, the first question you have to ask is the kapora by goyim, okay? You could make a case for it, certainly we'll see, because as we'll see, man's creation required kapora. So maybe there is. The Ramah Mipano used to claim that it's not so. We'll see exactly what kapora might be by goyim. Yes, no, but for Nineveh l'chor, you do see something. But the word tahara, you do not find by goyim. The word tahara is not there. And that's the Ashreichem Yisrael. Lifnei Hashem titohu. See, one has to understand what is chet. Chet is an ecological phenomenon
on the metaphysical sense. What do I mean? We're very much into pollution of the environment. Okay. We're very much into toxins, bacterial infections. Okay. Chet is a metaphysical infection. It propagates, and it's out of control. Man is infected, and Tome, his environment, is polluted by chet, by sin. Chet affects man in terms of his self-image. Chet affects man in terms of interpersonal relationship. Chet, in the most important aspect, affects man's relationship with God. It is true that man can only begin to be introspective, only begin to seek alternative approach to life when he understands the emptiness, the lack of fulfillment in a life of sin. The meaninglessness in terms of eternity of the instant pleasure. What meaning does it have? A person usually measures his day. You know, we talk about sometimes eating to live, living to eat. Okay. Most people say that they're eating to live, but most people live to eat. Okay. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why there's so many people with metabolics and whatever is going on. So good. So is the way a person should evaluate his life by how many steaks he had in his life? How much wine he had? How much heroin he shot himself with? How many vicarious pleasures did he have? Is that what life is all about? When man assumes and becomes and understands the emptiness of life, he can begin to think about a new direction. But without this understanding, there's no chance. However, once man understands this, the question is what his reaction should be. What should he do? What's the next step? How can he change this metaphysical pollution, the ecological disaster which he lives in, from a metaphysical point of view? How can he change and leave this? He certainly needs a feeling of emptiness, because society, you see, we know that heroin is addictive, okay? Caffeine, cigarettes, okay. But the truth is, if man is honest with them, if one is honest with themselves, will understand that his interaction with society, his whole life, he's addicted by society. What society values, okay? You know, and you'll see the way you have an ad, okay? Every ad, they want to sell a car, okay? So how do you sell a car? They have this beautiful girl, and they have this car, and they identify getting the car with the girl. Because, and, you see, but it does more than that, okay? We look at, you know, it's a nice word, you know, Fifth Avenue ploy of selling cars, okay? But what it does is set a mind frame which we're addicted to, that this type of pleasure is the way we define our lives. It means that success in life is getting this girl by hook or crook. That's what it's all about. We understand the metaphysical bankruptcy of this, we can begin to move ahead. But the question is, what's the steps? How do we do this? The first step is the Tkiya Shofar, according to the Rambam. The Tkiya Shofar is the wake-up call, Eilu Shoichachim B'Havli Azman, the wake-up call from this metaphysical pollution. But what's the next step? Lifne Hashem Titogu. The Rambam learns different than Rabbeinu Yehuda. Lifne Hashem Titogu is not only that the Rabbeinu Shalom cleanses us, but it's a haftocha. That if the Rabbeinu Shalom promises us, that if we interact with him and we have the opportunity of going to this mikveh. And that's why the vidui, when the Kohen Gadol recited this recitation about chet, shenema, because this is his hope. When man says vidui, he has to have hope. He supplication to God. Forgive me. What is he basis on? The basis is lifnei Hashem titol. And that's why the Rambam says, he quotes on the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you'll see in 2, he says at the end of 2, he talks about Yom Kippur being a day of tshuva, l'kol, l'yochel rabim, v'uketz u'mechilu slicha Yisrael, Lefiko Chayovim! Because Yom Kippur is an opportunity for Slicha and Mechila. And it's a very interesting thing. This opportunity itself, there's no commandment in the Torah. Rabbeinu Yehuda learns, Lifnei Hashem Titolu, is a mitzvah saseh, is a precept in the Torah. The Ram says the svara, because there's this window. The Rebbein Lishalem tells us he's ready to accept us with open arms. The tome, the polluted individual, can cleanse himself. It it stands to reason that one is obligated to do tshuva. What I'd like to introduce you to, there are two concepts I'd like to do just in a very simple way. Berov wrote letters, okay, and to his father, Amesha, but one of the letters he wrote was to his uncle, Rav Menachem Karkovsky, who was the Magid Meisholim in Vilna. He was the Magid of Vilna. And the Rav wrote, as a young boy, young man, wrote a letter to the Magid about tshuva and kapora, to the Magid of Vilna, okay? And this is the letter that he wrote. He asks a very interesting question. You look over here, the Gemara in Kiddushin on Memtesimut Beis tells us that Mekadesh Isha HaManashen Yitzadik Afilu Rosh HaGomo Mekudeshes. He says he betrothed, he marries a woman with a tnai, with a stipulation that he's a tzaddik, okay? And he's the Russia. So the Gemara says that we have to be worried maybe he's married. Because maybe in his heart he thought about tshuva. And the Rambam has this in Hilchos Ishus, in Perek Ches. HaMakadish Isha HaManashen Yitzadik. He says, Misafik, Shem Hiru B'tshuva. However, if you look in Hilchos Tshuva, look at number 4, the Rambam is very clear that you require vidui and omer. He says, omer. In fact, even the mitzaseh, ayin gimel, what do you mean? It's very clear that vidui, the mentioning of the various sins, and tshuva and repentance are two different things. What's the difference? What is this? We know tshuva, vidui, kapora, taira, tuma, you know, various words. What does it all mean? And what's kapora? What's it all about? Okay. Let me ask you something, okay? This person, let's just make it very, very simple. This person, okay, who married the woman, okay, is a serial murderer, okay? And he marries the woman, Amnashi Tzadik, and we say the Kedush is okay. Okay. So let's say he was Mahare, okay, Mahare B'tshuva. So the Rav said, is to Mahare B'tshuva, what happens? He changes, as it says, from a Rosh to a Tzaddik. In order to change your status of who you are, you don't need vidui. You just need a feeling in your heart. Shemehir b'tshuva was in his heart. Okay. So now, the Kedushin is 100% okay. He did tshuva. Okay. Now Bezin comes and takes the guy. He says, listen, to Adam, you killed this person, that person, that person, that person. He says, listen, Rabbi, I did tshuva. I'm the chatzadik. So the answer is, he's missing kapol. Oynish is machape. Yisurin are machape. You need kapora. You need to be absolved. There's a difference between you could be a tzaddik, but you still are tamei, and you need tahara and kapora.
I'll end, because I have to end now. I'll just tell you something. This kapola, this vidui, requires peh. He has to say it. That's vioimer. That's what vid is all about. That's why it's kapol. Bekaporas dvorim hakosov medaber. The words themselves are mechaber. Okay? And I'll tell you one story which I witnessed by the law at the end, and we'll pick up Mitzvah Hashem next week. I remember once after a shiur, they were painting on the fourth floor, okay? And the Rav, Zichron Levracha, we used to have mincha after the shiur, and the Rav went to the facilities in order, you know, to get himself ready for mincha. And what happened was, is his raincoat, whatever he was wearing, became full of paint. Okay. Okay. So the Rav walked in, and he said, Father used to teach us that we should say, Ezo Zayna Kapola. Okay, it's a Yiddish expression. When something happens, it should be a kapola. Okay. So I was always wondering, what did he have in mind? What did he want? So I'm going to tell you pshat. Just in a minute, and then we'll see. If you know, the Gemara tells us by Ochon, okay, that Ochon was supposed to say vidui, okay? And the Gemara says, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, that if a person doesn't say vidui, for example, the vidui by Misa, a person before they die, he's supposed to be mezvad. But the vidui, if you look at the Ramban, the vidui that they do is that he says that I hope that I'm going to live, and if I die, my death should be a kapola. Okay? What does it mean? It means that Gemara has derived that ancient are kapola, that they absolve man of sin, they cleanse man, they metaya man, only if he verbalizes it. Shetehe misosi kapolosi. What Father told, what Amrisha told the Rav, is it's not only the Yiddish expression, as zayna kapola, is to verbalize this. That not only Yisura Machaber, but you have to understand that there was a sin and there's a kapola. And that was what Father used to teach them as a sign of kapola. We should be zeche to look at life in this way.